a missionary sent me this week. Okay? When you're a missionary, sometimes you get to know the language and the culture, and your humor changes a little bit, okay? So this is my missionary friend sent me this week, and it says, these two cannibals, it was a cannibalistic tribe, these two cannibals were eating a clown, okay? And this one cannibal looks at the other one, and he says, "Hey, you think something tastes funny?" It's pretty bad, all right? That's missionary humor. That's the life of a missionary, okay? That is missionary humor, okay? Are y'all with me tonight?
Yeah.
You're still awake?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony and how I came to Christ and how God brought us together. And I'm going to do that, actually, along with the message. So if y'all could please stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read a couple of verses. And this is what the Holy Spirit said that's for tonight. Okay? And some of y'all are wondering, you know, and hey, my preacher took my watch. You know why? In the Philippines, we preach 2 hours.
Right.
If you don't, they get angry. The first time I preached 40 minutes. They said, "We like long preaching, you know," and then I preached 40 minutes and they were mad. They said, "Pastor Mike, you cheated us.
Yep.
What's wrong with you?" And they said, "Where's your second message? We're waiting." All right. So I got a second message and I preached it. All right. Some of y'all looking like, "Ooh, I'm scared." Okay. All right. Hey, listen, I have 3 children. I'll just go when the Holy Spirit says to stop. Okay. I know we have a busy day tomorrow. All right. So I'm going to incorporate a couple of things together. Well, how many of you would say that you either know somebody or you've had something happen in your life that you would say it's not fair? Raise your hand. I mean, based on circumstances, you've loved God or you've been a good person, you know, and you've done everything that you can, and just something came up in your life. This is not fair. I mean, it just shouldn't happen. I mean, why did these things happen? And there's not always an explanation for that, you know? In the Old Testament, they tried to explain it away. It was the sin of this person or their fathers. But, hey, some things come up in our life. It's not fun to go through painful things. It's not fun to maybe have someone you love passed away, or for your life to change so drastically that you have to depend on God for your next breath and for everything to be changed around. And so I pray that I could be an encouragement tonight and share from just personal testimony, and then maybe encourage everyone who's here tonight. I've talked to people this week. I know y'all have had things in your life that's just not fair. I don't have explanation, but I know that God is faithful.
Amen.
Okay? I can't explain it away, but I know that the grace of God is sufficient.
Amen.
And we're talking about a missions conference, and we're talking, preacher preached about the Macedonians. Hey, they were a bountiful nation. They were a nation that had everything, all right? And then, bam, they got invaded. And God allowed circumstances to change the world upside down, and then now they started giving when life wasn't fair to them. I mean, they were given and things hurt, you know, the more that I follow God, I'm learning that, hey, when things are not fair in my life, God says, "I will be there with you, but I still expect you to serve me." And he says, "I will help you."
Amen.
And I expect you to forgive the people that do you wrong if they keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And God says, even though if I allow suffering like Job in your life, and I still have a plan to reach the nations.
Amen.
Okay? And so I kind of had some things that weren't fair, but I'm so thankful that when God revealed himself to me and he showed me my need for him, that I don't have to dwell on those things, that even though they're still evident sometimes, I still reminded of them every day, that God just tells me, "I love you. I will help you. If you trust me and if you love me and if you present your body a living sacrifice," he says, you know, the priest says, "I will help you. I am faithful." So let's read these two verses and we'll pray and then we'll be seated, okay? Philippians, a lot of times we read together, so I'd like to read. We're going to read Romans chapter 12. We're going to read verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. So verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then verse 3, I'll read, the Bible says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful that you love us tonight. Lord, we're thankful that there's many people who have gathered, Lord, some coming from their jobs, some coming from training, Lord, basic training, some mothers that are very tired, Lord, and there's couples that have been married for a long time, Lord, they're struggling with things, and there's people that have been hurt. And God, we all come here because this is a hospital for sinners. Lord, this is a place where we are comforted, where we receive instruction from the Word of God. And we take that and we go and tell the world around us that there is hope in Christ. And He's working in us and He can do amazing things for you. So God, encourage us, but challenge us and help us to think, Lord, we're the same as the Macedonians, Lord. We have things that happen in our life. And Lord, the ultimate goal is you want us to share those hurts and those pains and with other people to bring them to you. And so we love you in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I read a very familiar verse. And you say, why? It's a missions conference. Well, God told me to do it. Okay? All right? And I can't argue with God. Actually, I had another whole sermon plan, and God said, this is what I want you to say. Okay? So, growing up, I did not have the privilege, as Miss Victoria had, of being in a Christian home. Now, y'all know her parents. You know Brother Terry and Miss Peggy, and you know Randy and Victoria, and they love God. All right, they've gone to church growing up. Victoria knows she's gone to church. She's come to this church. She's come to family camp. She has great memories. Okay, I didn't have those memories growing up. I was born in Idaho. All right. Amen? Okay, I was born in Haley, Idaho. This is just outside of Sun Valley. And I didn't live in a house. We lived in a Volkswagen Vanagon. Y'all know what those look like? Okay? Alright, we lived in a Volkswagen Vanagon. And my parents, they didn't teach the Bible. They didn't preach. They sold tie-dye t-shirts. Okay? And drugs. So that's what I knew. You know, I tell people everything we own is in a van now. It's like we're going back to my roots, you know, but I'm not selling the other stuff, okay? All right? Okay, I promise you, okay? And we pass inspections, all right? But this is the kind of, I've known it my whole life, all right? So we traveled in a van. I was born in Idaho. We lived in California, Oregon, and Washington State. And so... You know, I have memories of that. And then I remember my mom saying to my dad to leave because he was drinking too many times and abusing her. Okay? And then she got a boyfriend who was even more abusive. All right? Some of y'all who have grown up like that, that's not fair. That's not something that we want our children to the environment to grow up in, right? Well, that happened. And then I remember watching Star Wars. And my mom's boyfriend just smashing a bottle over her head. You know, and then me, hey, they're going to the hospital, and then I'm going to these other people's houses. And it wasn't fun. It wasn't a loving environment, okay? And so growing up like that, then the state found out what was happening, and they took me away and put me in a foster home. Well, my brother and I, we are hyper. So they didn't like us very much there. So they shipped me off to another foster home, okay? How many of y'all have children like that, okay? They're really hyper, okay? So we went to another foster home, three foster homes. And then they said, Mike, we have the solution for you. Okay? You ever had someone tell you they have the solution? You ever had someone tell you, we got your kids figured out? You know, like, we got the plan for you. We're going to tell you. So they had the plan for me. So they said, your forever family is going to adopt you. So they adopted me, and I thought, this is great. This is going to take care of it. They were hippies, too, all right? But they had a house, okay? A little better. They met backpacking in Switzerland, okay? So that was my life. And, you know, they provided for me. We had a good house. But I always wondered, do they love me? Okay, you ever wondered, do people really love me? You know? And so that question was always in the back of my mind. And then when I was 12, my parents got divorced. And I took it on myself and said, it's my fault. Okay? So I said, I was angry. I was frustrated with my life. And I didn't feel wanted at home. So I just left. I was in seventh grade and I quit school. By the way, young people, that's not a smart thing to do. Okay? Stay in school. I thought, I'm intelligent. I'm going to go. That was the dumbest thing I did in my life. Okay? So then I went and I lived on the streets in Portland, Oregon. How many of you have been to Portland, Oregon before? Have you driven across the Burnside Bridge? Okay. I slept under the Burnside Bridge. That was my house when I was 12 years old. And I haven't always been tall. I was about, you know, like a 1.20. You know what I mean? I thought I was all big and bad. And I would stay awake all night because I was afraid of what would happen to me. You know, I was a little boy. And I still remember, it didn't feel like life was fair to me, you know? It really didn't feel like life was spared. I wondered, who loved me? And so I started going and dealing drugs, and I thought, I could find happiness. I'm going to be a self-made, you know, 12-year-old man. You know, I'm going to do my own thing. And I started trying to do that. And guess what? When you go your own way and do whatever you feel like, there's consequences for your actions. Okay? My consequence was I got a brand new set of clothes. They were orange. I was in the juvenile detention center. It's not fun. I wanted to do whatever I felt like, and someone told me what to do all day. Okay? This whole time growing up, no one had ever told me there was even a Bible. I didn't know anybody growing up that read the Bible. I didn't know anybody that went to church. And I could probably say my life wasn't fair. And so that's when I was in that detention center. And the first time in my life, I met a Christian. Remember that first day where you met that first Christian? All right? And someone, you met someone that knew the Bible. And so I someone told me about the scripture, about salvation and Jesus Christ. And the first time, I just kind of laughed. I said, God doesn't want anything to do with me, you know? And so I said, well, you know, that's good for you. That works for you. But I want to party. I want to go to hell. I want to be with my friends. Bad idea. Okay? So then there came an opportunity where someone invited me again, and I went to church, and it was September 26th of 1997. Okay? I walked into church, and someone preached the Bible, and guess what they were preaching from? Psalm 68, where God says He's a father of the fatherless. And I said, oh, my ears perked up because I didn't have a father growing up. You know, we were laughing because the other day, you know, I was shooting skiing. Preacher had to teach me, you know how to stand and stuff. Because, hey, those are just things. If you don't have a dad, you don't get to know. All right. Well, first time I went to work, my boss said, "Where's the monkey wrench?" I said, "Where's monkey?" I said, "Where's the bananas?" You know, I didn't know. All right. So I didn't know that stuff. Well, this day, September 26th, 1997, they showed me how that even though I had grown up like that, and even though I walked into church with a green mohawk and a Marilyn Manson t-shirt on and a punk attitude and a skateboard, they showed me that God loved me so much, He sent His Son to die on the cross for my sins. And they told me that if I placed my trust in Jesus Christ, He would forgive me and He would be my Heavenly Father. And that I could be a part of the family of God. And that I would have a hope and a future in Jesus Christ. Well, it didn't take me long to figure out that that was a pretty good idea. Okay? So that day, September 26, 1997, I placed my trust in Jesus Christ. I was going in one direction. I was making everyone else miserable around me because of my frustration and my lack of love. And then I followed Jesus Christ. And that's where Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 comes in. Because at that day, I had a choice. Okay? I had a choice to follow Jesus Christ or do my own thing. But I also had a choice to dwell on the things that had happened in my life. And I could be an angry Christian. I really could, you know. I could be a forgiven Christian, but I could hold that bitterness inside of me. And then if I did that, God could never use me to share the message of salvation with the people in my life. That's what these Macedonians, they're there, and they get saved, and God works in their life. But it's hard and it's challenging. And guess what? They would have to do the same thing. They would have to choose, oh, it's hard. And oh, I didn't get dealt a fair hand. And this isn't right. But they would have to say, well, I still want other people to experience the freedom and the love in Christ and to know about His plan of salvation. So I'm going to put those things behind me and I'm going to tell them who He is. And I'm going to share that message of salvation. So Mike Wanzer had to make a choice, okay? And that's why we read Romans 12:1, because the only way that I was going to forgive my family for I was mad and forgive them for I felt the lack of love and the lack of care was to live out Romans 12:1. And that's what God is calling us to do today. Okay? And the message isn't going to be long, okay? Almost finished, all right? In my life, I had to figure out that this God was pleading. He was saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren. You know what the word beseech means? You know, it's like, you know, it's like your dad gets a nice car, like a 68 Chevelle. Okay? All right? And you see it there and you want to drive it. All right? You know, because it's got like a 386 with a supercharger. You just, boom, you want to roll in it. Okay? And you ask your dad and he says, nope. So you know what you do? You start mowing the lawn every week. Yeah. Okay? You start mowing the lawn and you start washing the car. You start doing your chores. Guess what you're doing? You're warming the heart of your father. And then finally you say, hey, Dad, I love you so much. Look at, you know, have you noticed what I've been doing? You know, have you noticed that I've washed the car? Have you noticed that I've mowed the lawn? Have you noticed that I've done that? Can I please just drive the car? Well, he might want to say that. He might let you ride next to him, okay? What you were doing, you were beseeching, you were warming the heart, you were saying, look, you were showing, look what I've done, all right? Look at all these things. All I ask you for this one simple thing. And that's what God says. He says, look, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He says, hey, I mean, I sent my son, like, to die on the cross for you. Imagine Landon dying on the cross for everyone's sin. Would you send Walker or Wyatt to die on the cross for people that hate you? You know, and they can't stand you. You know, would you want to send your children? You know, and so he says, I'm beseeching, I'm showing you. This is what I've been merciful to you. I've done all these things. He says, all I ask is you just present your body as a living sacrifice to me, wholly acceptable, which is your reasonable service. You know, when we get dealt something that is not fair, that doesn't make sense, that we can't control, God is pleading with us and He's saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, I'm pleading. I mean, look, I know something hasn't been fair. I know there's people that are angry with you. I know there's people that have talked about you. I know maybe your father wasn't what he should have been. I know that your life isn't what it should be, but I've been merciful to you. And don't hold what I've done for you in. He says, tell it to other people. Tell it verbally. Tell it by financially giving to missions, to send all of your missionaries across the globe. You know, people, I talk to people and they say, well, I'm thankful for what you can do over in the Philippines. And I say, amen. If they're supporting us, I said, you have a part of that. I said, you are working hours on the mission field. They said, how? I said, what is this? Is this money? You know, money is time. It's however many hours it took us to earn this bill. And when you work set amount of hours to earn that and you give that to missions, that means you're working those hours on the mission field. Isn't that encouraging for you mothers who just, you know, I say just, who are at home raising your children and are teaching them and feel like, what can I do? Well, as you're working there and as you're building your home and as your family gives, you're working hours on the mission field. We just get to watch it happen. Okay? So when we present our bodies a living sacrifice, all right, this is what God enables us to do, and I'm almost finished. I promise. Y'all still with me? Okay? All right. Okay. All right. Just like Mike Wanzer in September 26, 1997, when we present our bodies a living sacrifice, first of all, we can't do that unless Jesus Christ is our Heavenly Father. So if you're here tonight and you say, this is missions conference time, we expect everyone to be Christians. You might be here tonight and you think, I'm okay, I'm a good person. I've been coming to church, I've been doing stuff. You know, pastor likes me, you know, and people shake my hand. That's not going to get you to heaven. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? So before you even present your body living sacrifice, you got to be one of God's children. Okay? So tonight, God's calling you to do that. All right? We're inviting you to do that. And then, number two, when we present our body as a living sacrifice, guess what we do? We allow God to take all those things that are not fair in our lives and place those behind so that He can use us to bring other people to Him.
Amen.
All right? A missions conference, all right, I know, when it's coming up, you're thinking, hey, it's not fair. In the military, my pay is being downgraded. You know, things that are happening. And I know people here looking for jobs. And you say, hey, these things aren't fair. I know people in here that have medical expenses. There's people here, that have had loved ones that have passed away. And things aren't fair. Hey, God says, I've been merciful to you, and if you present your body as a living sacrifice, I will help you take those things behind you. I mean, He says, I'm going to help you. I love you so much that I provided a way, through myself to help you put those behind and focus on sharing my love and my message of salvation, my death, burial, and resurrection with other people. So when we present our body as a living sacrifice, God strips away our pain, strips away that stuff, and He allows us to forgive the people who have done us wrong. I mean, really. Okay? So then it says in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So not only when we present our body as a living sacrifice, He allows that to go away, but He helps us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right? And when we're conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, giving to missions and tithing at church and loving the people in our church and not talking bad about the people in our church and forgiving them and understanding that we're all just people. We all have problems. Amen? I'm not a perfect person. If you get around me long enough, you won't like some of the things that I do. Okay? Guess what? I'm just a sinner saved by grace. God says, when you do that, when you present your body as a living sacrifice, I'm going to help you not to be conformed to this world. I'm going to help you do different things. I'm going to help you to love and forgive people around you. Okay? He says, I'm going to help you to change your pattern of speech from attacking other people to telling people about me. I'm going to take it from being frustrated about everything else and turn it to praising me. And really, that's what's going to attract people to come to church. When we have a love for people and they know we're genuine, when we're conformed to not to the image of the world, but to Christ, and we're proving what's that acceptable will of God, then that's when God can start doing amazing things through our lives. And that's just what He did with me. I just told you. So I wasn't perfect when I got saved, and I'm still not perfect. Okay? If you meet me when I'm in the Philippines, I have struggles. Be honest with you, there's days where I cry, and I'm excited that God can use me. And there's days where I don't always feel like passing out a Bible tract, to be honest with you. It hurts when someone talks bad about me, when someone has said lies that aren't true, maybe they're because of jealousy or because of frustration. You don't always feel like doing it. When people hold you at gunpoint, they've held us at gunpoint up in the mountains, and they say, "Pastor, you know, what are you doing here? And why are you here?" You don't always just say, "Woo, I'm excited I get to hand out tracts," you know? You're like, "Oh, what in the world? What did I do? Why am I here?" You know? That's when you got to go back and say, "Oh, Lord, this is the will of God." And in verse 3 it says, "I say to the grace given unto me, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." God says, "Mike, you thought you knew everything about the Philippines, and I'm teaching you every single day. I'm teaching you to depend on me." And, and some of us thought we knew everything about our lives. And then if you're in the service, God says, "Boom, I'm going to take you from your home and take you to the other side of the world." Okay? Hey, doesn't mean He still doesn't have a plan for your life. He says, "I will help you. I will encourage you. Because I want you to be a living sacrifice for you to tell people about me and for you to send people across the world to do the same thing." We're almost done. Okay? You with me? Amen? All right, verse 3. "Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." So, I can tell you, when Mike Wanzer went to the Philippines, when God starts telling you to do things that are outside of your comfort zone, it's scary sometimes, okay? And sometimes God brings the greatest plans in the middle of adversity. You know, sometimes God brings things when you're like, "Whoa, it doesn't seem like everything's going well in my life." And God allows you to minister to people and to share the gospel and to do great things, even when life doesn't make sense to you all the time. Okay? And so that's part of God humbling us and showing us that, that we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And so here's the question as you're here tonight. We ask everyone in the beginning, raise your hand if something in your life has not been fair, or you know someone that has not been dealt a fair hand. Can I give you an encouragement? Don't let that stop you from being who God created you to be. I stuttered so long when I first got saved, and I said, "But that's all, folks," you know. And I was scared, and I was ashamed at who I was before. And I still stutter, and I still don't make sense sometimes. But the Holy Spirit gives me boldness to share the Word of God because I don't want to hold it inside of me. Okay? Hey, people have lied about our family before. Okay? All right. Right now, Victoria's grandfather is in the hospital. We don't know if he's going to make it another day, okay? Things have happened. Sometimes, you know, we lived in the Philippines a year without a car. We had some of our support go down. But we can't let that stop us from sharing the Word of God with people, okay? We can't let frustration stop us. We can't let poverty like the Macedonians stop us, because God says, "Man, I've been so merciful to you. Just present what you have as a living sacrifice, and I'm going to do amazing things through your life." That is the challenge. That is the challenge tonight. And remember, I said, you know, when we present our body as a living sacrifice, God strips those things away, and He says, "I have a better plan for you.
Amen.
And this is what I'm doing." Okay? You know, as pastor gets ready to come, we pray and prepare. If he has an invitation, number one, most importantly, we're talking about sharing the gospel with people around the world. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, man, you're the most important reason why this conference is happening. I mean, you need to come down and find out that you know you're going to heaven. I mean, what happens if you walk out the door, man, and you get hit by a car and you're gone? If you don't know for sure, get it settled tonight. Okay, and then if you're here tonight and, you've doubted what God could do, or maybe you're upset, or maybe things haven't gone right, you haven't been dealt a fair hand, I'll tell you, I'm a living testimony. We just got to get over it, and we got to let God heal us. Okay? All right? And we got to, and the Bible says, be conformed, not to the image of this world, but to Christ. And I'll also say, if maybe you've been a part of maybe creating doubt in someone's life, or you got the Holy Spirit spoken to your to you, like He's spoken to me, and says, "Hey, I see something that I want to work on, and you need to change some things in your life." Hey, come to the altar and get right with God. You know, Mike Wanzer, God's spoken to me and says, "Hey, practice what you preach, brother." You know, and God, you know, God wants this whole church to serve together in unity. If you look at Acts, the end of Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people got saved. God was blessing. You know what the things were? They were serving Him in unity. In unity. Okay? They were all presenting their bodies as a living sacrifice. They were sharing their resources to get the gospel around the different places. And that is God's plan.
Amen.
So as we pray tonight, I don't know what your need is. I don't know what God spoke to you, but let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask us just to deal with on some of these things. Let's pray. I have